This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, and we are also streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we've had a great segment with Una Williams, and she's going to stay with us.
She'll be back
longer.
By popular demand for another segment a little later in the hour. Actually volunteered to step in for Chef Patrick Hall. Anyway, so she'll be coming back and perhaps talking about some of the things you can make for Easter that would be on the healthier side, I guess.
No.
we'll see. And Donna is ready. Donna from Delaware. Hi, Donna. How are you?
Hey, how are y'all doing? What's crack-a-lacking?
Oh, boy. Hi, Donna.
Besides
I'd like you to meet.
Eggs. Wait. Besides your eggs and what's behind you, what's cracking?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my new co-host is dying to meet you. So, Donna, here is Mike Morin. Mike, here is Donna.
Donna.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you. And how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm kind of wishing I was on that vacation with Carol and Daryl when they met you and decided to turn you into a food personality here in New Hampshire.
Wait a minute, a food personality? I don't know about that, you know. But it was an awesome experience. I'm sitting here with my coconut earrings on right now that I got in a Cayman Island.
A coconut earrings?
Coconut earrings. A lady
well,
was
those are pretty heavy.
No, they're not heavy. They're real cute. No. Mm-hmm. I might as well put on my coconut earrings today because last night I was sniffing coconut oil. Ain't that crazy?
Oh, boy. So you were cooking with coconut oil last night?
No, I was sniffing it. Didn't you hear what I said?
Okay. I'm trying to help you out here, Donna.
Well, you trying to help me out? No, not. You trying to help me out? No. The thing was, is like, I went to a health food store, and I'm having a sinus problem. And so what she told me to do is take real organic coconut oil and sniff it. It will help your sinuses. So I had coconut oil. I sniffed coconut oil last night, and I put on my coconut earrings today. So, you know, I got the coconut theme going on.
And how's your sinuses doing after following that quackery advice?
Quackery? You think it's quackery? Well,
yes.
I think maybe tomorrow, if it doesn't clear up after I had all that ginger, because I did do some ginger, I might have to go see the doctor. Maybe. but let me tell you what, one reason Teddy calls me Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies due to the simple fact that she's always making up concoctions in her house to cure everybody. So I was like, I'll try those concoctions first before I head off to the doctor.
Okay.
Do you have that big cement pond in the backyard?
A thick cement pond? No, I don't got no thick cement pond. Mm-mm. No, I don't. I ain't got no cement pond, but I do got some chickens running around.
Do you really?
No, I ain't got no chickens running around.
Oh,
you can't have chickens in it.
I'm so gullible.
You can have chickens. Where do you live in a big city?
In the suburbs.
You live in...
Not unless you're doing a ritual. I just got some cats running around.
So have you been cooking lately, Donna?
Yes, I have been cooking lately. And I am about to make this banging. It's called $1 million chicken. Can you imagine that? $1 million.
$1 million chicken. So are you going to share the recipe with us?
I'm going to share the recipe. If you want me to share the recipe, I'm going to share the recipe. What this requires is you take a whole chicken. And when I saw the recipe, I was like, chicken and bread go hand in hand with me because I love bread. So I was like, okay, I can do this. So you take a whole chicken and you clean it, of course. And then you put the bread, you put a crusty bread on the bottom of the chicken, and you stuff the chicken with lemon, fresh thyme, garlic, and bay leaves, and you put that in the cavity of the chicken, and you let that rest overnight. And then when you're ready to cook the chicken, now they was getting fancy on me, y'all. They had creme fraiche And I was like, creme fraiche, I don't know about the creme fraiche thing. So I looked it up because when I don't know, I will look it up. So I use, it says you can use sour cream. So I'm going to use sour cream. And then it required you to use a lopo pepper. And I didn't know what a lopo pepper was, so I had to look that up as well. And it's a pepper from the Mediterranean and the Middle East. So it's like a Turkish chili pepper. So they said that you could use ground cayenne pepper and paprika as the same thing. So my chicken will not be $1 million. It'll probably be like a $12 chicken since I'm not using stuff from Turkey and all that. So they also require that you sprinkle a salt called Malden salt. I don't know if y'all have y'all ever heard of it?
No.
Don't know it, no.
It's spelled Maldon, Malden. And it comes from England. It's a special salt that they have in England. It's the high-end salt. I know you. Have you ever heard of Jimmy Choo's? It's like,
yes.
Jimmy Choo's,
right?
Jimmy Choo's.
You know Jimmy Choo's is a salt.
Of course.
I have Jimmy Choo underwear on right now.
Just like, you know, if you would buy Jimmy Choo's, you would buy, if you was doing this type of chicken, the $1 million chicken, you use Malton salt.
Okay.
Now, I don't have, what'd you say?
No, I said okay.
Okay, now, I don't have no Malton salt, and you had to order this salt online from England. So I knew that it was up there because they asked me, did I want to, what country did I want to order my salt in? I was like, what the world? I said, I'm not used to ordering country in different language. I mean, salt in different languages. So I knew it was the Jimmy Choo salt. So what kind of salt I'm going to use is pink Himalayan sea salt. I say that's like Steve Madden or Nine West. Like if you were going to buy a pair of shoes, Steve Madden or Nine West. So I'm going to use pink Himalayan sea salt. But if you do not have pink Himalayan sea salt, that's okay. I think you can go ahead and use some Morton salt. I'll call that Payless. Or do you remember Favor? Do y'all remember Favor? I don't know. Did y'all have a Favor shoe store up there?
Oh, I sure do.
Kids?
Of course.
Well, if you don't have pink Himalayan sea salt, then you're going to have to use Favor. You hear me? Regular table salt. So after you have that salt, what you do is you sprinkle the salt on it, and you place the chicken in the oven. And as the chicken is browning, what you're going to do is take that creme fraiche, or you're going to take the sour. I would take the sour cream and the lemon juice and the shallots that you chopped up, grated, and the pepper, the spice that you use. You would start basting that with the chicken. So after your chicken is all basted, what you will do is you'll take it out, and I think you will have a $12, you hear me, chicken instead of a $1 million chicken. So what y'all think?
So let me ask you this. Did you have it, and how did it turn out?
I haven't yet, because I was writing it all down. I'm going to make it tonight.
Well, next time you got to cook it and then tell us about it. So that
I
got to
cook it and then tell you about it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I did. I will do that. But this morning I had a smoothie, so I didn't cook a smoothie. I can't cook a smoothie, you know.
No. Did you put kale in it so it turned green?
No, not kale. I use spinach.
Oh, well, that works.
I use spinach, and I use half a cup of spinach, and I use one celery stick, and I use a half a tablespoon of ginger, and I use I use baby food applesauce. And I poured the baby food applesauce in there and some apple juice and some ice and blended it up. And a splash of vanilla. And you got to have some sugar because I use that coconut sugar. So that's what I had this morning because I'm trying to get rid of my cold.
All right, let me ask you this back to chicken. I haven't been down south that much, but what's the deal? Do you make chicken and waffles often?
Do I make chicken and waffles? No, I don't make chicken and waffles often because I like just plain old fried chicken. Now, that's what I make. I make just plain old fried chicken. I don't make chicken and waffles because I want real biscuits. I don't want no waffles. If I want waffles, I have waffles for breakfast. You know? So, no, I don't do chicken and waffles. That's a breakfast item. But I did make a waffle this week out of falafel. I had a falafel waffle that I made out of that falafel recipe that I was talking about two weeks ago.
Yes. And how did that come out?
My falafel waffle, it turned out banging. Teddy's been eating it all week. You hear me? It's with some chickpeas. I use chickpeas, and I use parsley and lemon, and I think I put a little too much. It asked for leavening, baking powder, so I think I put a little too much in it because I could taste like a little more, so I would lose a less baking powder than what I used this time in my falafel recipe. But the waffle iron worked good for the falafel waffle. I saw that on television that he used a waffle iron. I said, I'm going to try it out. And I like that better because I didn't need to have more carbs. So the waffle was actually the bread instead of putting it in a pita pocket. Sounds pretty good, huh?
I think it sounds very good. Yes, and it definitely does.
And what I did was I chopped up cucumbers and tomatoes and put it on top of the falafel waffle. And then I took my tahini sauce that I made. Mm-hmm. Made me some tahini sauce, y'all. Yes, I did.
Now you can now, sounds you know,
fairly
you make,
healthy.
It is healthy.
Yeah, it's very healthy because due to the simple fact is with tahini sauce, it was like I had to go get the tahini oil because it's really sesame seed oil. So, but it has its own taste. So I went to the farmer's market and went into the Middle East section and got the tahini paste. And what I did with that, I took the tahini paste, lemon juice, and it asked and it told you to use Greek yogurt. And I mixed that all well up, and then I took it and put it in a squeeze bottle and squeezed it over top of my falafel waffle.
Ooh, yes, I did. That sounds pretty good.
It was really good. It was
now
really,
you've
good.
Compared your chicken to various shoe companies. Would this be this particular falafel waffle? Would this be a Nine West or a Prada production?
Not Prada, you know, because Prada's high end, and when you're going to go high end, you got to use real high end ingredients like crab and lobster. That's high end. Now, if you're going to get some chickpeas, you know you can get chickpeas for 88 cents. So you know that's not high end. You know,
true.
If you're going to have chickpeas, you can get chickpeas like in a can for 88 cents. So it's not high end. It's more like on the pay less type of thing.
Pay less.
But you can always
that's good.
But the tahini sauce jazzes it up. So it puts you in the middle then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I think we need to have Donna come back on Comedy Cold Cuts.
Yeah, I do too. We do a segment with comedy and food on Friday. That might be a good fit for you.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Right. Y'all crack-a-lacking up there. Okay. I'm with it. I am down. You hear me? Down for it. Since I'm down in Delaware, I might as well be down in New Hampshire.
There you go. Donna down in Delaware.
No, up in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire? I can't wait to come to New Hampshire. I cannot wait.
Well, when you come visit, we want you to come into the studio and bring your falafel waffle with you.
Oh, definitely.
I gotta bring falafel waffles.
Yeah,
definitely. Well,
you want falafel waffles when I come? All right, I'm gonna bring you some falafel waffles then. Just make sure you have a good waffle iron because I had a cheap one. My aunt gave me a cheap waffle iron. I'm gonna buy me a new one.
Carol, does the Red Arrow Diner have a good waffle iron somewhere?
I can hook you up with a good waffle iron, Donna. Yeah, don't worry.
It was cheap. It kept sticking to the bottom and stuff, and I had to spray some Pam in it, and then I dumped some oil in it, and then it started leaking. So we got to have a good waffle iron.
Well, I will hook you up, so you'll have to let us know when you're going to come up to New Hampshire.
And do my falafel waffles.
And do your falafel waffles, yes.
How about coconut pecan waffles with a caramel sauce and fresh mangoes, though?
Wait. That was don't forget, that was cornbread. You hear me? Maybe we got to find a cornbread recipe where we put it in a waffle iron and with pecans and then dump some fried chicken on there. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to have that.
Now we're talking. Yeah. I'm down with that.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do chicken tenders because, you know, frying chicken takes, it's a skill when you guys, it's a long time that you guys sit there with high grease. And if I'm too cute in the studio that day, I don't want no high grease popping all over my outfit. That ain't going to work.
Well, you're cute. I've seen your picture, so you're
definitely. You know, I'm trying to get it right. So I can't be making all this fried chicken stuff because I got to get my body right and tight, you know. So I got to stick to the falafel waffle for right now.
Okay.
And shakes.
There you go. There you go. Well, you need to get better, so go sniff some coconut oil.
I'm about to sniff me some more coconut oil.
All right. You go do that.
Organic.
Okay.
Well, good. Another $4. All right. Excellent.
Yeah. No. This was good. This is good oil. You don't use cheap oil if you're going to sniff it. No. Mm-mm.
We want to check in with you next week to see if it really worked or if you just went back to the basic Vicks nasal spray.
I was sniffing that, too, but, you know, okay. You got to do both.
All right, we have to go. Hey, Donna, we look forward to talking to you next week. It was nice to meet you.
I look forward to talking to you guys, too. And remember, life is for living, food is for giving, and Donna's out of here. King.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. All right, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 WTPL, and stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Carol and Mike, you are listening to 107.7 WTPL. We are also streaming on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And if you'd like to give us a call, you can, 866-823-1077. And sure.
Let's mention our underwriters for the program include New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. Also, Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with the drive-thru in Londonderry. I was talking to your dad, George. He said not enough people realize that the drive-thru is there, so he's going to put up some additional signage so people realize that you can just stay in your car and through the convenience of drive-thru window, get the one of those wonderful meals from the brand-new Red Arrow in Londonderry, our sponsors today. And we're bringing Una back, who we had a chef unable to make it here at the last minute. She graciously offered to stay with us. I think this would be an excellent opportunity. We're going to talk, you know, Easter dining. But if you have a question about gluten-free recipes, concepts, she is certainly one of the great experts in our area. Why not take advantage of having her in studio with us today? Our phone number, as Cheryl mentioned, is toll-free, 866-823-1077, 866-823-1077. If you have a question about gluten-free dining, celiac disease, no, she's not a doctor, but she probably knows it better than a lot of people in the medical world, because she has focused her baking and cooking efforts on that aspect for the last several years. She is a nationally recognized expert, and you've got her right here today, so take advantage of it and give us a call.
There you go. Again, 866.
I sound so wonderful, don't I?
Yeah. You'll get my bill.
And I think you called me Cheryl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Karen.
You did.
I didn't mean to do that. Carol, not Cheryl. Well, that's close.
Just saying.
My apologies. Well, saying. Thank you for catching me on that, because I make lots of little mistakes like that every day. And
age sucks, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Although I think I've got a few years on both of you. So
listen, if I'm going to be your radio wife, you need to at least get my name correct.
Yeah, in the heat of the moment, I better call you the right
you
name.
No, you do what I did when my son was growing up. Yeah. I just generally say darling, and both my husband and son would reply.
Okay.
That's a nice little trick, whether you call them darling, love, honey, babe. Just say it generally and someone replies.
But that might not work in this application.
Yeah,
though,
I don't think so.
Well, why not?
Well,
you know, I mean, down south, Donna, they use all those sort of loving
well,
words.
Well, that's true.
You know?
That's viewed here in this part of the world as patronizing, and I'm not sure what else. But,
well, no, it might be to someone on the phone, but, you know, if you're doing it to close friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my friends, I'll say, in England, I used to say, my darling, my sweet, my flower, my love, and he was, you know, married to someone else and just a total friend, you know?
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah. I mean, people know,
They do.
Yes. He can just remember Carol.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the simplest.
So, Una, you know what I'd like to know? Easter's coming up on Sunday, and what is on your menu for Easter?
Well, my husband doesn't want lamb, which is really ticking me off because I'm fancying lamb.
So why aren't you just doing it anyway?
Because it's only two of us, and I would normally do a roast leg of lamb. And what I normally do is I buy the boneless leg of lamb. And then if you can get ground lamb, if not ground beef, and I like to cook the onions and garlic in advance in a pan, because I find they really don't cook to sweetness, even in extended cooking in a roast. You need to cook them in advance. Then I add either the ground lamb, the ground beef to it, a little bit of breadcrumbs to thicken it. And for gluten-free, I like to use crushed corn checks because they're out there, they're easy, they're gluten-free, you know, and it's cheaper than buying bread. And fresh zest of orange, fresh mint chopped into it. Use that as the stuffing in your lamb and roast it. And when you do the mint jelly afterwards, please don't buy the stuff that's neon green in the grocery store and is just a synthetic oil flavoring it. I buy the store's own apple jelly, melt it in the microwave, buy the pack of mint that you buy in the store, the fresh mint, put the stalks in with that and leave them for the day to infuse the flavor. Melt it again because it'll have thickened. Take out the stalks, chop the fresh mint into it, and then you've got a really lovely mint jelly that you can put back in the fridge and keep decently for ages.
That is great.
Yeah, because I'm sorry, neon green with spearmint oil is not mint jelly. No. So that's the easy way of doing it with apple jelly, so I do that. Of course, the roast potatoes. English, we love our roast parsnips.
I love parsnips. That's something new to me, too.
Isn't it? But it's still got that carrot flavor going on, kind of.
It does.
Well, I grew up, my father would julienne the carrots and parsnips and cook them together
as a
side dish. My son, I used to cook and still do parsnips, carrots, and onions and boil them together like mashed potatoes, then mash them with a bit of butter. And that I'll have instead of the starch because it is a starch. You don't need to have potatoes or whatever with it, in my opinion. And it's one less thing to cook as well. So I do it that way. And it's wonderful. What I've been doing this time of the year where we've got the fresh butternut squash is I like to, again, cook some fresh bacon, onion and garlic together and cook it. And then I'll add the squash cube to it with a little bit of stock. And once it's nearly ready, put some cream in with it so it's like a gratin. So you can either do it on top of the stove or in the oven. And butternut squash is such a mild flavor anyway. But you put it with onion, garlic, and bacon that's been cooked to tenderness and then put it with it.
Mm.
Oh, you're just eating that by the spoonful. It's so good.
Sounds so magnificent.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're ham people, what I've done for years is I just like to mix dark brown sugar with spicy brown mustard and spread it. You know, whichever thing of ham you get, be it the sliced one or the whole one, I've always soaked it in water because most of them are still too salty for me.
Okay, you know, so soak it in water.
I always soak it in water overnight,
gets
rid of the salt, throw that away. And again, depending whether it's the fancy sliced or the whole one, the whole one, I bring it up to the boil and cook it in the water gently for ages. You know, you don't know until you read the packet size, etc., for timing. It could be an hour or whatever. And then once it's ready, put it in the oven with the mix of dark brown sugar. Dark brown, not light brown.
Now, what is the difference?
It's just a more intense flavor with the dark brown, but it therefore gives more flavor to the ham, especially when you mix it with spicy brown mustard and spread it on top. And then it gets a nice crustiness. The sugar goes down into the ham slices, and it's good.
It sounds really good.
You know, we talked about a little bit yesterday, Una, and I'm glad you're here today, is why does British cuisine get kind of a bad rap? And I don't know if it's a stereotype type thing that people just say, oh, British food, please. And I don't know. I've never been there, and I don't know. I'd love to hear it from you, although you grew up in Ireland, correct?
No, I grew up in London, but both my parents were born in Southern Ireland, and I have more family in Ireland than anywhere.
Got it.
And that's where the name Una comes from anyway. You know,
sure.
Hey, mother's name was Dempsey. Can you get more Irish than that? You know. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny when people say, oh, English food is bad. Any of my friends, my students will turn around and defend me like mad and say, oh, you haven't tasted Una's this, that, and the other. And when I do, we were talking earlier about like a cooking class dinner party. So often, even when I do brunches, I had to make English scones. Mm. And I had to make them fresh in front of them. And they're watching me make the scones and put them in the oven and bring them out hot. And they are just blown away that people still are baking from scratch. But of course, you know, my scones are made with butter and cream, even the gluten-free ones. Mm-hmm. And then when they're done, I buy the Bon Maman French, either raspberry or peach preserve. And then I put either Chambord raspberry liqueur or peach snaps into the peach or raspberry.
You're killing me.
And then when you whip the cream, you put a bit more of the peach snaps or Chambord into the cream.
I'm gaining weight just listening. I'm getting nervous.
Rocco, turn the radio off.
Wow. But, you know, that's indulgence. That is not an every night thing.
Yeah,
none of us grow up on every night desserts. Mm-hmm. There should be weekends. You know, so yes, English food. I'm sorry it's the same, and Donna would probably kill me for saying it. You know, some of the food down south, pretty awful as well. Northerners wouldn't give anything for grits and some of those dishes and not kale. What's the other stuff? The other green stuff.
Chard or...
Doesn't matter, but
you know, they
wouldn't
collard greens.
That's it. You know, they don't care for an awful lot of those things. And you go further south to alligator, does anyone want those sort of things? So every country has their good and bad.
It's not bad.
But
I know. Tastes like frog. No.
Yeah, it tastes like fish.
Yeah.
You know, fishy chicken. But, you know, people will say, I want to come home with you because I'm told what I call every day, other people call gourmet. It's that simple because it's real food. Donna was saying waffles and she said cornbread waffle. I make a corn waffle and then I put on top of it pulled pork. And then I made a sauce. It was the sauce version of a dip I do where, again, my thing of cooking the onions and garlic, freshly roasted red pepper, pepper dew peppers, which are just a nice, sweet, spicy little pepper that you buy in a jar at the supermarket. Add coconut cream and puree it. So we had the the corn waffle, the pulled pork, and then that sauce on top as a breakfast or as dinner. Really good. Very good. You know, so you could do that for Easter Sunday breakfast. Mm-hmm. But also I mentioned, coconut and pecan sweet waffle for breakfast with fresh mangoes on top and the coconut sauce, not coconut sauce, you could do coconut sauce, but chocolate sauce and caramel sauce on it for Easter Sunday. I also do, you can do bread pudding, both ordinary bread and gluten-free. For gluten-free, I use Udi's bagels and cut them up into cubes. And I'll put mini chocolate chips into the bread pudding and bake it and serve it with a raspberry sauce and raspberries. Or I do an Eggs Benedict version by putting cut-up pieces of Jones's ham, Canadian bacon, into it. And then I do a hollandaise sauce to serve with it. So that for Easter Sunday as well, you know.
Mm. What time were you coming
over? I think we're going to Una's.
Yeah. But, you know, for Good Friday, I said earlier, a shrimp and crab bisque, but also I do a lobster with gorgonzola dolce sauce over pasta.
I think we have a call.
She's telling me to shut up. Oh, no.
Call for Una.
We have Patrick Hall is calling in. Hi, Patrick.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Very Pat. Good.
Hi, Chef.
Hi, Una. How are you?
I'm okay. I said to Carol this morning, I'm looking forward to seeing you again. I haven't seen you in ages.
I was too, and I couldn't pass up the chance to call in anyway. So, I was listening to your mint jelly thing, and I was like, oh, that's a great idea, you know? So,
yes.
I apologize I couldn't make it, but I had a sick child that called in from school. So, I wanted to at least call in.
So what were you going to talk about for Easter food? Because that's why I was trying to talk Easter food.
Well, what I do, and we started doing this last year, is I have a smoker, and so I do ribs. I get up way early in the morning, I do ribs, I do brisket, and I do pulled pork for my Easter dinner. And we did it. We started doing it last year. It's non-traditional, obviously, but it's pretty neat. Everybody enjoyed it, and then you can do like little sliders, and I do all sorts of little stuff. But I get right up early in the morning, I rub the meat down overnight, and I put them inside the smoker and do a little bit of applewood smoke for them.
Oh, nice. Ooh. I mean, I said to, you know, Chef Mike at Milford, you were meant to be coming in during the snow season, and we had to put you off for that. But Mike's now doing smoking as well. And I said to him, you know, we should be doing a class at Milford, same as you should do at Lakes Region, on smoking.
Because people don't
know the ins and outs of it. And when you two are chefs and are doing it, it really is helpful.
Yeah. It's we do a whole section on smoking. We have a Garvin J class. We do a whole
no,
section
not for
on
the
charcuterie.
Kids, not for the class, not for the students, but for the public.
Oh yeah, that would be great too. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we do it with the students anyways too. But I love it. It's a great technique. It's flavorful. And you know, like I said, those cuts of meat, you just do them long and slow, and by the time they come out, they're just falling right out, you know, falling right apart. And you can do sliders, and you can do all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah,
and it just comes out really well, you know.
Yeah, Mike and I were down at the Boston Food Show last week and went into the seafood show. Somebody
had smoked
salmon jerky.
Oh,
and we just saw it on the label, and we said it. He went away and gave us a pack each.
Oh wow!
So
we were very
happy.
I went there years ago. Was it 2 years ago? And there was a guy there that was featuring Steelhead there, and he was doing that, and it was fantastic. He did this nice pan seared Steelhead, and it just was so moist. That show was just amazing. I mean, they had everything from flying fish roll eggs to you name it. It was truly amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you looked at all the fresh fish in all their cabinets there. Unbelievable what you could see. I mean, 8 foot long stretch of oysters.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, and an octopus with a head the size of a basketball.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's huge. The seafood market is just so so gigantic now, and it's just amazing. And especially that the seafood show down in Boston is just ridiculous. It's so many different vendors, and just it's so much fresh seafood right in one area. So it's amazing.
What bothered me tremendously though, there must have been about 40 booths of from China. And,
oh yes, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you're thinking,
you're absolutely
okay.
Right. There was a lot of Asian market.
Yeah. Who's going to buy China farmed fish?
When you're sitting there in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. It does concern you who's buying it. Is it going into the fish sticks for the kids and not telling us what it's... I'm sorry. You know, me as usual, wondering where it all came from. But yeah, it was fascinating. So what else are you doing apart from your smoke stuff?
Just my smoke stuff. And then what we'll probably be doing is I've been getting into recently, and you can find them in the stores, those little tiny creamer potatoes. I grew up in Western Massachusetts, and I grew up with Zulwalki's Farm and all that sort of stuff. And I grew up picking corn and cucumbers and all that sort of stuff. And the creamer potatoes, like the little fingerlings plus all the small little creamer potatoes, you know, after the season was over with, we get these creamer potatoes. They're fantastic. You know, they're just a great product, or at least little tiny ones. They roast up really quick.
They do. I like it. Easy. I like it when you just plain boil them, but you've cut them in half at least. So then the starch, you then mix it with the butter and some either dried chives or fresh chives, and it makes a sauce on the potatoes.
Ooh. Oh yeah, yeah. It's like its own little meal right there. It's, you know, and just the mouthfeel of the potato when you're eating them is just amazing.
Yeah,
you
they're
know,
very different. They're what we call new potatoes in England. They're not at all like any potato over here. They're lovely and waxy and firm and tender and. And local stores do carry them. You can buy the bag of the mixed fingerling of Yukon and the red and the purple, so you can get them mixed very easily to buy.
Yeah, so
and they're not cheap, but, you know, it's Easter. You're doing something for special.
That's right.
Yeah, it's and, you know, like I said, we Easter at our house is more of just a gathering. Get everybody, you know, neighbors come over. We do a giant Easter egg hunt for all the kids. I live in a great neighborhood. It's Haywood Brook Drive, and all these in Concord, and they all these all the kids come around. We do Easter egg hunts out, you know, outside, and we have a bunch of small kids, and we put it out there, and we have family over, and it's just, you know, a giant gathering, you know, as holidays should be, you know. So
that's right. Well, Chef Patrick, thank you for calling in, and we will look forward to your visit next week. How is that?
That sounds great, and I apologize, and I just thank you, Una, for filling in for me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'll see you next week. I think it is at Pinkerton for the advisory committee meeting.
Yes, we will be there. Absolutely.
All right. Go take care of your
daughter.
Take care.
Thank you,
Chef.
Thank
you
very much. As well.
Good
thank
talking you. To you.
Bye.
See you
next time.
Bye.
Well, there you go. We got him in.
We did.
Yeah, what an hour it's been. The only thing we have to tell Chef Patrick is he has to do it in a British accent next week.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, but people put on a fake British accent and it sounds appalling.
Yours is real? No, I'm just kidding.
I like, if you remember when Steve Cooper used to be WMUR and we'd do Cook's Corner, and then he was teasing me about something, and I said, I can say park the car at Harvard Yard.
Oh, my gosh. I believe now we have Chef Jason on. Chef Jason, are you still there?
I am.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. This is Chef Jason Seavey. He's the chef over at Havenwood Heritage Heights. And could you give everybody a little synopsis of what's going to be happening tonight at Iron Chef Competition?
Yes. Tonight up in Concord, New Hampshire at the Smokestack Center. It's a senior center. We will be having a competition with three Concord-based continuing care communities. And I will be representing Havenwood Heritage Heights. And then there will also be Granite Ledges and the Birches, both here from Concord. And we're going to each have a booth and be sampling food that is on our menus, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert that we feature on a regular basis. And then for a competition for five judges, we will be making a dish that contains chocolate is the secret ingredient that we have to do. And so we're only going to have to make five of those, one for each judge. And it's going to be very exciting.
Makes your minds real good.
They're all going to be real
just
good.
Well, teasing.
Is it really a secret ingredient if you know what it is, Chef?
Well, that's what it is. This
it's a mystery ingredient.
It's their first time putting this on, and there's no kitchen. So basically we're assembling everything there. But still half an hour to plate and to finish five dishes very intricately is still a little bit of a oppressive time. So and, you know, I'm doing something that still has needs some finishing touches to it. So I'll still be moving around rather quickly and putting on a good show. So
very good.
Can you give us a hint on what your protein is for your dish?
Yeah, well, I can. I'm actually doing a little bit of everything with chocolate as far as salty, sweet, bitter. I'm showcasing even white chocolate, even though it's truly not chocolate.
Right.
I'm going to be showcasing a little bit of that. And I'm using everything from a little bit of molecular gastronomy with some flash freezing.
Oh.
And I'm doing
love that.
All kinds of stuff. It's going to be a very complex dish. It's going to be very exciting.
Ooh, I can't wait.
So it's going to be fun to watch you, and probably your fellow chefs will also be putting on a little show and a little razzmatazz for the chocolate.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot going on. It's a small community up here, and we have some employees that have passed between both all three doors, and so everybody's kind of giving me a little heads up, telling me, you know, the other guys really know what they're doing too, and it's going to be a really good good competition.
Very good. All right, listeners, you can I believe you can still get tickets, you know, coming to the door tonight. That's what I thought too. It starts at 5:30, and it's going to be held at Good Life Programs right over in Concord, off of right on North State Street. I'll be very anxious to see you later on, Jason.
Excellent. I can't wait. Very excited. Very nervous, but very excited.
Oh, you're going to do just fine. You'll be doing just fine. All right. I'll see you a little bit later.
You will indeed.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Chef.
All right.
Hey, it's chocolate. What else do you need to say? It's chocolate.
I'm so glad chocolate is gluten-free. Oh, my God.
No.
No! Don't tell me! La, la, la. I don't want to hear it.
Too often, again, it's barley sugar put into it.
Oh, okay. But chocolate, pure chocolate.
Pure chocolate is naturally gluten-free, but it's been messed around with again by
producers.
Don't be
a chocolate Grinch to me, Una.
No, I am not a chocolate Grinch. Okay. I was going to say a dessert for Easter. I do a chocolate pecan indulgence, which is a ground pecan crust with butter. And it's the cream and chocolate mix, like I put on the cake on top of it.
Yes.
Caramel sauce on top of that, and then cream. And it's made in advance. It's refrigerated. Only like 10 minutes to do the pecans. That's on the website at royaltemptations.com.
Oh, my gosh. We need to check that out. But I think we need to take a break right now.
We do. Yeah.
We do. We're like well over the break. So you're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 FM. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and we've had quite a whirlwind of a day today, Mike.
It's been a United Nations of food.
It has.
And participants. It really was fun getting to know Donna from Delaware, and of course Una. I have no idea how Una slipped below my radar of being in this area all these years, being a fan of food. I so would have had you on the radio where I used to be.
I'm sorry.
I am too. I am too. Well, you're
I must tell you a silly thing. You know, I won the W. Well, I was one of WZID's outstanding women this
year.
Yes,
that's right.
And when we were at the expo and Marg Bassett was sort of corralling us on the stage, she said to me, "Thank you for teaching me how to cook." And I thought, "Well, I know who you are, and I know I've never met you." And she said, "No, I see you on Cook's Corner," and I say, "I know I can do that."
Wow.
So I thought that was lovely.
Well, that's an honor to be.
Very lovely.
The 30 outstanding women.
Yeah.
Was
20.
Always 20. Oh, they're down to 20.
Yes, 20.
That's right.
So it's
a very uplifting and really just a very impressive group of women that gets to be a part of that. Yeah. So congratulations.
So that was a lovely day. And WZID. And Hannaford.
Yep, Hannaford has been a big
like
part
mad.
Of that.
So I'll be writing for Hannaford's food magazine. They're just changing publishers.
Oh, you will?
And I'll be doing some
of the
stuff.
How do you have time for all this stuff? You lecture.
No, you do so many things.
You do radio.
Well,
you do television.
Know what to do with a quiet day.
Do you have a clone somewhere?
It gets tiring, but, you know, you're the same. We couldn't sit around doing nothing. We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. And when you're doing stuff you enjoy, you can cope with being tired more.
I find that the busier that I am, you know, with lots of things to do, the more I get done, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I'm not busy, it's like,
can
you
I
don't
be bothered
feel like
to get
doing
going?
It. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. As they say, always give something to the busiest person.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And we managed to achieve it. Well, we're women. We are women. Hear me
right.
roar.
That's
remember?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Helen Reddy lives. Wow.
I used to love Helen Reddy.
Yeah.
Oh we're dating ourselves, and he even remembers the name.
Oh, of course I do. Don't forget, I was playing records back then. They were records, and I can see the name Helen Reddy on Capitol Records going round and round and round. Yeah. All right, before you go, best restaurant you've ever eaten at in the world, if you can narrow it down.
Oh. One of my favorites was when I was in college in London. We went to something called the Swiss Center, which is it's for Switzerland, truly, but it has a restaurant and shops and everything that's Swiss food. I had the most unbelievable gratin dauphinoise, the scalloped potatoes. Oh, they were unbelievable. They were so, so good. And I hate saying it, it sounds arrogant. I say I didn't eat these restaurants in wheat flour days because I can cook better than most of them and for cheaper. Why would I eat there now? And that's so I do go to restaurants that are gluten-free and I know that they're safe. But I am a very good cook. Why would I spend that money? My poor husband, he doesn't know what to do for taking me out to dinner.
Really?
Yeah. Poor love.
I mean, you have to mention names, but is there a good gluten-free go-to place in southern New Hampshire that you trust and think is up to your standards?
One of the ones I love, and I have a girlfriend also with celiac disease that gets very sensitive, is a little place called Pasta Amore in Amherst, down the road from Frederick's. My waitress always, same waitress, she'll say to me, have you brought your gluten-free bread this time? She'll bring separate dipping sauce, so I have my bread and my husband has his bread. It is truly Italian. She is going for her PhD in psych, so we're not talking any idiot dealing with me. And yeah, I always phone and double check that it's safe each time and remind them. And I've not been sick once. And it's down to earth, solid, good Italian food.
Ooh,
and
affordable. Pasta Amore.
Pasta Amore. It's nice. Their website is non-existent at the moment. They're real doing it. But whatever you can think of Italian, they carry.
And it's
and
in
including
Amherst.
Desserts in Amherst, just by the 24-hour Walmart and Frederick's. Okay. And it's affordable.
Good to know. That's a good tip from you today, along with many others.
Yes.
Ona Williams, so good to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Have you on Food for Thought, and you know, you twist your arm to come back again sometime.
Oh, I always bring food, so it's going to definitely work.
Am I that shallow? Am I that obvious?
We will definitely have you back. And tomorrow, stay tuned. We were going to be in with Chef Nicole Lynn from Kansas, and food editor Jason Hirsch.
That's right. From Beating the Lunchbox Blues.
There we go. All right. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Thank you, Una. Bye-bye.